Willen jullie een nieuwe horen eigenlijk?
Ja!
Dat is leuk, want Marcella is er. Die vroeg mij om een liedje te maken over een bejaarde paardenboerderij. Was het. Je hebt hem gemist toen, toch? Dit gaat over een bejaard paard, dames en heren. En eigenlijk kan ik helemaal geen liedjes over dieren schrijven, want dan moet ik halverwege al zelf al janken. Maar dit is, gaat over vrijheid en bejaarde paarden. Zij was zomaar een paard, niet meer in dienst, ze was bejaard. Ze was niet meer zo snel, een tikkie stoffig in de staart. En zo staat ze op de hoeven, in de wei een bloem te snoeven. Van 's ochtends vroeg tot 's avonds laat, omdat de staldeur open staat. Als zij er een middagdutje doet, dan rent ze met de wilde mustangs. Over de prairie en de rivier langs tot aan de ondergaande zon. Er zijn geen hekken, zijn geen mensen, zijn geen steden, zijn geen grenzen. Wat kan een paard zich beter wensen, als dat zo voor altijd kon. Ooit was er een grote kaan en die sprak de wijze woorden. Dat die steden daar niet hoorden, het was verspilling van de grond. Waar ook paarden konden grazen, over de steppen konden razen. Zonder zadel, zonder baas, ergens heen, niet in het rond. En wie komt daar op 8 benen, die stoere hengst, die is verschenen. Als de zon het is verdwenen, slijpt hij zachtjes in de stal. Het is de liefde van haar leven, slijpt neer, komt een kusje geven. De hartstocht doet hun zweven, tot de sterren in het heelal.
Din partea mea pentru scumpii mei frați, pentru Ori, pentru Samir, pentru Silvia, pentru Doina, pentru Ilie și pentru Lucreția care este supărată. Și pentru nepoții noștri, pentru Dani și pentru Tolica.
Iar trebuie să plec
cât cu ochii pot să văd, cât cu ochii pot să văd. Departe de casa mea, unde n-am nimeni, n-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Îmi cresc copiii cele tău. Acasă e viața grea, descurca. N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Cresc copiii cele tale. Acasă e viața grea, nu mă mai pot descurca. Ce-i mai greu acum vine, toate ca numai pe mine, toate ca numai pe mine. Altceva ce pot să fac decât să-mi am lumea în cap. N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Mă cresc copiii cele tău. Acasă e viața grea, nu mă mai pot, nu mă mai pot descurca. N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Mă cresc copiii cele tău.
Primi bani ce-o să-i câștig, trei sfert la copii trimit, trei sfert la copii trimit. Iar un sfert trimit la frații, ca și ei sunt supărați. N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Mă cresc copii cele două. Acasă e viața grea, nu mă mai pot, nu mă mai pot descurca. N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? N-aș pleca, dar cum să stau? Mă cresc copii cele două. Acasă e viața grea, nu mă mai pot descurca.
Jolene, I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene. I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him even though you
fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, voice began to call. Hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. I loved you long before the time your eyes first saw the day. And everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave, and traded off a kingdom for the lies that you believe. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I'd take you back this instant if you'd turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. When you come back to your senses and you see who's been to blame, remember all the good things that were yours with just my name. Then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you'll only turn around. I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. And it's all yours if you'll come home again to me. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love.
Where are you going? Donald, are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump
Theater. No one knows what's up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump
Theater. So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news.
But maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
For only the third time in U.S. history, the House of Representatives voted to impeach a sitting president, Donald J. Trump.
Very sadly now, our founders' vision of a republic is under threat from actions from the White House. Sadly, the American people have witnessed further wrongs of the president. Today is a national civics lesson, though a sad one. I solemnly and sadly open the debate on the impeachment of the President of the United States.
But first, sadly, we are solemnly sad about this solemn, sad solemnness that is this sad, sad, solemn, sad day.
Before you take this historic vote today, 1 week before Christmas, I want you to keep this in mind. When Jesus was falsely accused of treason, Pontius Pilate gave Jesus the opportunity to face his accusers. During that sham trial, Pontius Pilate afforded more rights to Jesus than the Democrats have afforded this president.
This country's end is now inside. I hope I don't live to see it.
Can you believe it? It's today. It's today. It's unbelievable.
Trump is reacting to the impeachment news with his usual calm and measured ranting. Yesterday, he sent an angry 6-page screed directed at Nancy Pelosi, and today he passed that rant out to every member of Congress inside a massive Christmas card. That thing is the size of a Cheesecake Factory menu, which makes sense since both feature an orange chicken. The president didn't stop with angry screed and comically oversized card because he also included a second, smaller Christmas card. Cards within cards. It's like a Russian doll, which coincidentally is Trump's Secret Service nickname. That wasn't. That wasn't Trump's only desperate cry for help. This morning he tweeted, "Can you believe that I will be impeached today by the radical left, do nothing Democrats, and I did nothing wrong?" A terrible thing. Read the transcripts. This should never happen to another president again. Say a prayer. Yes. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Say a prayer for me.
Nothing says confidence quite like say a prayer. The state trooper pulls you over. You're completely innocent. So you scream at the other motorists, pray for me!
Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me. Please don't stop me. Please don't stop me. Maybe you got a kid. Maybe you got a pretty wife. The only thing that I got been bothering me my whole life. Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me. Please don't stop me.
House voted to impeach President Trump, but Nancy Pelosi refuses to send the articles to the Senate until they guarantee a fair trial. So now we're all in this weird limbo where no one knows exactly what's going on. There's this cast of wild characters making fools of themselves, and everyone is thinking, please God, just let this end. So basically, it's cats. This impeachment is obviously a huge historic moment, and you can tell that Trump really appreciates the gravity of the situation because this is what he said on the day he got impeached.
Remember the dishwasher? You could press it, boom, there'd be like an explosion. 5 minutes later, you open it up, the steam pours out, the dishes. Now you press it 12 times. Women tell me.
Words that will echo through the ages. He's the first president ever impeached in his first term, and he launches into a rambling Yelp review of appliances. And then Trump got the crowd to do the weirdest call and response I've ever heard.
Listen. Sinks, right? Showers. And what goes with a sink and a shower?
His crowd knew the answer was toilets. And they were right, because then a second later, he renewed his strange feud with flushing.
Right, Penta. Wow, but not me, of course, not me. But you, him.
So some poor guy in his audience waited in line outdoors in Michigan in December to support the president. He gets inside, the president points at him and says, "This guy destroys toilets." But there was somehow an even lower point, which was when Trump attacked a dead congressman, John Dingell, and said he was looking up at us from hell. Though obviously nobody's looking up at us from hell because we're already there.
In a letter to Nancy Pelosi, Trump claimed that he has been treated worse than those accused in the Salem witch trials. You know, where they set women on fire for, like, wearing pants. Well, according to Donald Trump, impeachment is, like, literally worse than that. I'm a little disappointed in Trump. I mean, I knew he would snap, but I thought it'd be fun, like Tupac in 96. This is more sad, like Britney in 07.
Trump is already preparing for a Senate trial. He is now clashing with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Trump wants a, quote, dramatic event. McConnell, though, is pushing back, making it clear, no, he wants to get it over with quickly.
You're watching C-SPAN 3, Happy 100th Birthday. Up next, President Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell spar over impeachment strategies.
Trump would stand trial in the Senate early in the new year, and one senator says the trial would take approximately 2 weeks in January and would feature no witnesses. Oh, that is going to be some compelling television. Reminds me of the famous courtroom scene from A Few Good Men.
Do you have an answer? I'd like an answer to the question, Judge. Did you order the code red?
Now, the president's putting a brave face on in public, but impeachment seems to be getting to Trump. Aides say he has appeared distracted and unfocused during conversations. Yes, distracted and unfocused, unlike the old laser-focused Donald Trump.
My fellow Americans, I come to you tonight to announce that American ground forces are, hey, there's a guy I know. Anyway, China, give me dirt on Joe Biden. Bing, bing, bong, bong, bong. Flush your toilet 15 times. Good night.
It's not just impeachment that's getting on Trump's nerves. It's why he's being impeached. One advisor said, frankly, I think he's a little surprised it's the Ukraine thing that's done it. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. After all the shady deals he's been involved in over the years, he gets tripped up by a phone call? Trump getting impeached for Ukraine is like Paul Newman winning an Oscar for The Color of Money. He definitely deserves it, but it should have happened way before. Trump is also annoyed at how impeachment is playing out on the TV. He's reportedly fixated on how the news media is portraying him, with one advisor saying, the coverage bugs him.
I don't get it. Why does the media always paint me as the bad guy? Anyway, somebody photoshopped me to look like Thanos.
Trump has made it pretty clear in his recent public statements that he's more than just bugged by impeachment, including at a rally last week and in the Oval Office on Friday, when he claimed that Democrats had somehow been trying to impeach him since before he announced that he was running for president back in 2015.
They can't win on election day, so they're pursuing an illegal, invalid, and unconstitutional impeachment.
And then they announced there was no buys. Now, you know what we're doing? And it's not easy.
Thieves everywhere. The strong must protect the sweet. The sweet.
I want it all. The terrifying lows, the dizzying highs, the creamy middles. Sure, I might offend a few of the blue noses with my cocky stride and musky odors. Oh, I'll never be the darling of the so-called city fathers who cluck their tongues, stroke their beards, and talk about what's to be done with it.
A regular president would have been under a table, thumb in the mouth, saying, take me home, mommy, this is too tough for me. I have to tell you, as bad as it is, it meant something. When you had serious high crimes and misdemeanors.
The impeachment is a hoax. It's a sham. It started a long time ago, probably before I came down the escalator with the future First Lady.
All right, first of all, what's with all the slurring, man? Trump's going to be the first president to get pulled over for a sobriety test in the middle of one of his rallies. Can you say the alphabet backwards? I can't say it forwards. Second, don't say, I came down the escalator like you were George Washington crossing the Delaware. It wasn't noble or cool. You rode an escalator to announce your campaign for president like you were at a Macy's looking for men's underwear.
I'm running for president. Also, where do you keep your dumpiest khakis?
Third and most important, you think Democrats were secretly plotting to impeach you before you announced that you were running for president? How'd that work? You think President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Nancy Pelosi were all in a secret room together saying, okay, you know that famously dumb game show host? You know, the one who spends most of his time yelling at Meatloaf? Well, he's about to ride an escalator down to announce his campaign, so here's our plan to bring him down. We're going to win the popular vote by 3 million votes, but then we'll lose the Electoral College because, you know, it's a dumb, antiquated system. And then we're going to wait 3 years until he calls the president of Ukraine and asks him to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, who will announce that he's running for president. And also, Rudy Giuliani's going to go on TV and confess to everything. This is just the world we live in now. The president's a deranged, conspiratorial lunatic who's fundamentally untethered from reality. In fact, on Friday, Trump lied and claimed that his poll numbers have actually gone up since impeachment began.
My poll numbers, as you know, have gone through the roof.
Help me, I think I'm falling.
The polls have gone through the roof for Trump, because people, especially with independent voters, and especially in swing states, I could show you numbers that nobody has ever seen numbers like this before.
What are you talking about? We're getting numbers no one has ever seen?
11-teen, something called a Thrix. That's the first Thrix we've ever seen, you guys.
I have the right to do whatever I want as president.
But we know Trump is lying because polls have consistently shown that about half of Americans want him at least impeached, if not removed from office altogether. Even a new Fox News poll over the weekend confirmed that. And it was a poll that surprised even Fox & Friends morning host Brian Kilmeade, who said this morning that he was stunned to see how high the number was.
In the latest Fox News poll, 50% of registered voters think the president should be impeached and removed from office, up 1 point since October. 4% think he should be impeached but not removed from office, and 41% do not think he should be impeached at all.
The Fox poll came out, and I was stunned by this. It says 50% of the country want the president impeached. I was stunned to see that that's the number because I thought that things were trending away.
Yeah, you know why you thought that? Because you only listen to Trump and you only watch Fox News. You're like a guy who works at Arby's who eats an actual burger for the first time and says, what? This burger doesn't taste like horse. When Kilmeade saw that poll, he was probably like, but I thought Trump's approval rating was up to 11-teen Thrix. That's what I heard. So Trump has clearly both been watching the impeachment coverage and also getting enraged about it, although he'd love for us to believe he's not. On Friday, for example, he insisted he was working on other more important issues, like a supposed trade deal he keeps claiming he's negotiating with China.
Mr. President, your reaction to the vote in the House Judiciary this morning?
Well, I was actually, believe it or not, finishing up the final, I was doing the final touches on the China deal.
I do not believe it. Also, if you do anything, it's not the final touches. They maybe let you help out in the beginning a little bit so you have ownership, you know, the way you let your toddler stir the frosting, but not put the cake in the oven.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Give him all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and you'll have good times. time doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, I'll be proud of him, 'cause after all, he's just a man.
So now that impeachment is, it'll move to the Senate for trial, where the senators themselves will act as jurors. And Republican senators who will act as those jurors are already on TV defending the president before the trial even begins. For example, there was Senator Rand Paul, who kept insisting in a contentious interview with CNN's Jake Tapper that Trump was just worried about corruption in general, even though several of Trump's closest associates have been arrested and jailed. And Paul just kept mindlessly repeating his talking points.
All of them have been convicted of federal crimes. You really think President Trump is concerned about rooting out corruption?
I think most of what you listed and most of the people that were indicted or convicted were alleged to have been part of some sort of huge Russian conspiracy.
I'm asking about President Trump and corruption. I just listed a number of close associates of President Trump's who are either in prison or facing sentencing.
But I think it's based on opinion. It's based on
These are criminal sentences. I just wanted to know, do you really think President Trump is concerned about corruption? Just a yes or no. Is that something you really
believe? I think Ukraine has been one of the corruptest countries on earth.
That's not what I asked.
Backed or Western backed, all the governments of Ukraine have been corrupt.
He just kept ignoring the question. There's no way to break through with these guys. They just recite their pre-programmed lines. Anchors have to yell at them the way you yell at one of those automated customer service agents. Hello?
Thank you for calling Verizon. How can I help you?
Yeah, I want to cancel my service.
I heard. I want to upgrade my service.
No!
Is that correct?
No, I said I want to cancel.
I heard. Please add a second phone line to my account. Is that correct?
No, I want to cancel!
I heard. I love Verizon. Thank you. Goodbye.
Are cold and lonely.
The argument that Trump was just concerned about corruption in general is obviously absurd on its face. In fact, as we speak, Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, who's at the center of this whole scheme, is back in the U.S. from a trip to Ukraine, where he was still digging up dirt on Trump's political rivals. And the Wall Street Journal reports that Rudy is still reporting directly to Trump. When he returned to New York last Saturday, the president called him as his plane was still taxiing down the runway. What did you get? Trump asked. More than you can imagine, Giuliani replied. He was loudly committing crimes on the plane as soon as the plane landed. At this point, whenever Rudy flies, the flight attendants are going to have to announce his Miranda rights. You are now free to use your mobile devices, and remember, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Not only are they continuing to cheat in the election as we speak, but they're also trying to cheat in the trial about the cheating. Remember, the Senate is supposed to be a fair and impartial jury, but both Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham have said explicitly their only goal is to end the trial as quickly as possible, call zero witnesses, and take their marching orders directly from the president himself.
I don't need any witnesses at all.
Okay, and then
I am ready to go. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country.
I'm not trying to pretend to be a fair juror here.
Everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this.
Stand by your man and show the world you love him. Keep giving all the love you can.
They're supposed to be the jury, and they're literally going on TV admitting they're not going to be impartial, and they're going to take their orders from the president. Only in the Senate can you openly brag that you're not pretending to be a fair jury. Lindsey Graham sounds like a dude who's just making stuff up to get out of jury duty. I can't serve on a jury. My grandma's sick, and I'm her caretaker, and I'm cat-sitting, and I live far away, and I don't speak English, and I'm biased against cops. This is the Republican Party of Trump. A party that sees any challenge to its power as illegitimate, that's fine with cheating to win elections, and that rigs trials to avoid consequences for that cheating. They don't care what they have to do to win, even if it involves cheating, and then defending that cheating by going on TV and spouting
bull.
McConnell has a simple plan for the impeachment trial. No impeachment trial. But McConnell could lose control of the proceedings, and this is true, if just four Republicans vote with Democrats to allow witnesses. One of the likely suspects to grow a spine is Utah Senator Mitt Romney. When Romney was asked his opinion on calling additional witnesses, he said, "It's not that I don't have any point of view. It's just that I'm not willing to share that point of view till I've had the chance to talk to others and get their perspectives." Oh, courage. It's just like at the end of the movie when the Romans are about